Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 20th. Joining us this morning is Anthony Mantova in just a minute. Because first we have our Why Do We Say That? Today, amen. What is the real meaning of amen? Amen is generally accepted as meaning so be it. But in the Hebrew language, from which it comes, amen literally means truly. When we use this word at the end of a prayer or a hymn, we assert its truth or sincerity. Amen is also the last word in the Bible. And with that, Anthony, we're talking about some of the different challenges that small retailers have got. Obviously, the big boxes are a challenge. Obviously, being in population centers is a significant issue also when somebody's considering operating a business. What are the benefits of being small town or isolated, significant percentage being brick and mortar rather than all being the internet model?
First thing that pops in my mind is the ability, if you've got a smaller staff, it means you can probably turn on a dime a little quicker. If the market is changing, if you've got a certain set of products that are fad-based, then you probably don't have too much stocked in that inventory. And so worst case scenario, if you've got some goods that aren't getting any attention from your customers, you can sell them online, get rid of them, bring in new stock. One other thing, like for us, for Humboldt County right now, the DJ market is very much underserved. There's a lot of reasons for that. But I still have my thumb on it because we sell cables and adapters and cords that they need when they go to gigs. And we also stay open an hour later on Saturday nights just to really catch everyone that's got a gig. So those are
maybe as they're going towards their event, wherever their event is, they need a fill in the blank. They can swing by.
Exactly right. We're still in their mind a little bit, even when they need us. So we're still in their orbit, which
is good. As a secondary or tertiary supplier or vendor for them.
Exactly. And I have nothing against DJs, but part of the issue is what's hot in the DJ market, I think even now, changes every 6 months. And so unless you've got a dedicated employee who's out there on the circuit doing that work, who can really stay informed and add credibility to my store being in that, it's that game of do I invest thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in this equipment that might not move in a timely fashion.
And the individual, too.
And the individual, too.
I mean, it might be fun, but they're probably not going to travel with these in these circles free.
Well, no, they're going to be kind of like a road rep, like the
I was thinking roadies and groupies, but okay, you got almost there.
Right.
Not all the benefits. One of the things that I found interesting when Walmart was going through their rapid expansion was doing the concept of doing battle against Walmart. You know, now you got the internet, and that's certainly changed the paradigm. But the concept that a lot of folks were successful with is if Walmart comes to town and they've got product that's direct competition to you, move next door to them.
Move next door to them.
Because of the flexibility, because of the opportunities, and because of the built-in foot traffic also. I mean, you know, if you have an exposure of another 10,000 people, that's going to be beneficial because a percent are going to end up in your store anyway. But that flexibility, it's kind of like you're in a PT boat.
Right.
And they're the aircraft carrier. It's a whole lot easier for you to be able to maneuver and take advantage of opportunities as they present themselves.
And also, you can learn a lot by, you touched on it, market research. If they picked a location to be, that's probably a good location for you if you're selling a lot of the same services. Now, in Walmart's case, they are a different business model, right? They are either medium size, like the one we have, or they're a super center. And they are super discount. Well, I think a lot of times a small business owner...
Well, in Sam's Club... is another offshoot of that as well.
True.
I mean, so different focuses?
Different focuses, but Walmart will look at an area and say, let's test it with a small center, and then as we're gaining our market share, we'll grow that center into something bigger.
So similar to what Crescent City had.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's worked really well for them. It's pretty smart because you're not throwing too much of your money into one basket. But where a small business owner sometimes, I think, sells himself short, is he'll think, if I'm not operating the same discounts, if I'm not offering the same strategies as Walmart, I'm going to fail. Well, no, you're not going to fail because you're a different business model. You're not a deep discount store. You're a something else. Just as a 7-Eleven, for example, which we don't have here, 7-Eleven can charge quite a bit more than Walmart because they're a convenience store. That's their business model. So I think if you're a small mom and pop, number one, what
now,
are
that
you?
Isn't a reference to your candy bar.
No.
Concerns, yeah. You go to Walmart, it's this. You go to your gas station, as you're filling up, you buy a candy bar, and
exactly.
It's this plus.
But the 7-Eleven would be smart to move right by Walmart, because maybe on the way out, people are thinking, oh, I forgot to get this, I forgot to get that. And they're catching them that way. Maybe that's their business model.
And don't want to deal with the crowd or the hassle of going back inside.
Who does? There's been many times where I'll pay $2 extra. I did this yesterday. I paid $2 extra for a box of Triscuits because my dad's been experiencing with these new cheeses. So he said, give me some Triscuits. Okay, fine. Well, I thought I could go to Safeway or I won't get the names, but all these stores where you'll save quite a bit. But you have to stand in line. Do I pay the $2 or lose 20 minutes? You know.
Well, and then if it's on the way home or on the way to an event like you were referencing,
right?
That 30 minutes, that 10 minutes is a significant commitment.
There's a little music store in Garberville, and they charge, you know, a little bit more for their guitar strings, and that's totally fine because they are servicing the needs of that region. They can come an hour north and see me, or they can just stop, see their neighbor, and get some strings. There's nothing wrong with that. Just a different business model. So.
And recognizing who your customer is. Your potential customer base is, as well as your existing customer base.
Absolutely. But that's the thing is, if you don't know, if you can't define what you're offering and you're listening to all this advice coming at you from many different angles, you're going to make probably some bad moves, you know.
You're going to have a learning curve, huh?
Exactly.
No, why does that sound familiar
that
for both of us?
Exactly.
Some of those different challenges, I think... The small guy, the independent guy, the local guy in a small rural area has to experience.
He does.
Because if you don't, it doesn't stick.
Well, he sells himself short, and the advertising on TV and cable is not helping because a lot of TV ads are geared towards the big box model. They're geared towards the idea that you shouldn't even check out a store unless A, B, and C are in place, like the super low prices or the flash sale or whatever it may be. There's this message in our marketing as a whole, and I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but there's a message in our marketing that is dissuading people from shopping local and not even giving it a shot, and that's a shame.
Yeah, I think we have somewhere to leap off into in the next segment. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Anthony Mantova from Mantova's Two Street Music.
Mantova Land.
Yeah, is that what you guys call it?
No.
That would be kind of cool. On the inside of the door, right? Up above. Yeah, so only those who are inside. You're kind of like with Disneyland.
Right.
You know, you're leaving Fantasyland. You're leaving Mantova Land.
Thankfully, we didn't choose that.
Yeah. Have a little neon sign with a waving hand. We could really mess up your business model here.
Yeah.
Or have a lot of people sticking their heads in to look and see if it's real.
Right.
The concept of persuasion is something that's intriguing. I think everybody is familiar with the concept that perception equals reality,
right,
for a large segment. So if you hear over and over, or you see over and over something, there's a percentage that won't question, that will just embrace whatever it happens to be. What do you believe is the biggest fallacy when you get together with your buds for operating small retail business in a rural area that is, let's say, 2.5 hours away from a metropolitan area. Not that we are, times two, but from a major metropolitan area. Gee, how do you...
There are so many different ways to reach people. And we've talked before about technology and how everyone's very isolated. They got their smartphone, their iPhone, and there's no longer one medium of advertising you can go to and catch everybody as a catch-all. There's winners and losers in that market, and you know, we could do a whole show on that. But you have to think strategically. If I was talking about DJs earlier, if I want to reach students at HSU, I had better have some strategies like maybe hold a booth on orientation day at the school. That way I'm going to catch a lot of people I otherwise wouldn't. Every single time I've done a booth, I've always captured new customers who otherwise wouldn't see me, and I really believe that. I not only will sell at least one big ticket item at the booth and always lots of small stuff, but it's always a win because even several years from the time I did the booth, people will come in and say, hey, I saw you at this place. So person to person is key in a local market, and I think if you're a struggling business owner, and I think most are around here, in addition to doing your traditional media, which you have to do, you have to get the consistency, you have to also have a strategy of who do I want and how do I get them here. I bought a truck this year just for that purpose, so I can haul stuff in the rain and set up a location. I did a booth at College of the Redwoods. We were part of an effort to raise money for the child care center that's having a threat of having their budget cut. And it was one of the last places my customers would expect me to be. There were like 20 vendors there. And I was the only, of course, music vendor there. But we gained several new customers, people who otherwise would not just stumble into the store because I took a four-hour time in my life to go and make that effort.
That's what I think is probably the biggest challenge when we're talking about smaller businesses. And I think for our definition, small is probably under 25.
That's safe, yeah.
Rather than the national.
Right.
Yeah, right. Give me a break.
Five locations is small. The national
right, yeah,
city, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Only 15 per location. Yeah,
right.
Okay. Is time. You know, that is as scarce a resource for a new or small business as money, as experience, as other resources. So when you're putting together some of these opportunities, what matrix? Oh man, I got to purge that. Okay. What standards do you use to
determine? I think you're looking for a paradigm shift, Brian.
Yeah. Well, let's get together and have a collaborative discussion.
As long as it leads to a sustainable conversation.
How do you measure whether or not it's a viable use of that time?
Okay. I've been
before the event, so you can't use ROI.
Okay, good. I've been hiring people lately again. We talked about that. If there's something important enough to hire somebody for, hire the person. So in my world, if I'm spending half of my time selling stuff online, which one of my brothers was, he was spending half his time selling stuff online when he is actually the best salesman on the floor. Well, what should we do about that? We can't stop selling online. So we hired a guy to take over boxing goods and shipping them online. That freed up half of Matt's time.
So the fulfillment end.
The fulfillment end is where it's at. The ability to not just delegate. I hear the delegate word a lot. But if all you're doing is putting off your big issues to do small chores and you're going to hire an assistant to do the small chores, you haven't really accomplished anything. You're just making yourself feel good. But if you're actually taking something that's taking the majority of your time and it's still important, you need to hire a person for that thing that's really important. It might mean that you have to pay them a little more. It might mean that you have to train them a little more. It might not be a turnkey thing. You might have to figure it out as you go. And so you're going to have to hire somebody that's quality enough to roll with those punches. But that would be what I'd say. Yeah.
So
it's all people-based.
Looking at these events, don't know what percentage of your total week, 4 hours sitting, 2 hours getting, setting up, breaking down, getting back to the store is worth. Okay, let's say a half day.
Right. That's fair.
Okay, it's six. That might work.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it worth? And how do you determine going in, okay, this event that you went to, does that make sense versus the orientation versus something down at the gazebo or something at one of the rodeos?
Every single time you set up a booth, and obviously, I've had some booths that have been disappointments, and it could have been a disappointment because of the location, the size of the crowd. It's never been a disappointment in terms of engaging new people. That's what I'm saying, is the booth has always been a win for connecting with new people.
So you're defining success differently. It may not necessarily be dollars in your pocket as you're packing up.
You're going to like this, Brian. It's campaigning. You're campaigning for your store. And what that means is you are making an effort to conquer new territory, to bridge new gaps between new markets that don't know about you. It's an effort to reach out and grab new people.
I thought you were going to say you were talking to new market segments. That would have gotten me excited. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Anthony Mantova of Mantova's Two Street Music.
Yes.
In Old Town Eureka. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag Credit, and by Lolita Cheese Company. Anthony, looking at some of the challenges that small retailers have, what about the rural nature of our area? Now, many would say, well, we don't have a big enough population base to blank, whatever the blank is. That's why a lot of the big box guys aren't here. Olive Garden, Red Lobster, some of those folks in the restaurant industry, they have a population base within a certain driving distance, and that's, or driving time rather, and that's how they determine. And if you're not there, you're not there. Now, they may change the standards and new markets come into play, but they have a standard set that says this has got to be. These are unalienable. You can't violate these things. Just that's what it is. I would suggest being a guy competing on the internet, being a guy competing locally in an area that has the dynamics that we do and the demographics and the lifestyles, a lot of the guys, if they looked here, probably wouldn't think that there was enough here to do here. So how do you go against that grain successfully?
I think we were talking earlier segment about hiring people for specific tasks and things that really do need to get done. The last person I hired was a photographer, video. I call him the video genius. He makes demo videos of some of our products. We found a way to post better content on our online selling platform. We found a couple different ways to post our products better than 90% of other people and other stores that are posting. And it cost me probably about $500 in outside materials. And it cost me one new employee. But we have found these different ways, different camera angles, different little things that really make a big difference.
Like lighting and backdrops and things that most don't consider.
Exactly. Exactly that. We bought some backdrops. We bought some better lighting.
Geez, look at me. I'm now a video consultant, too.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that hard, but you have to do it. And
so you're saying it's a low bar for me to have any kind of expertise in that area. Well, so a lot of people have a whole lot more than I do.
I think because so many small businesses are worried about their bottom line, or they're worried about this and that, the daily problems, they lose sight of the fact that the other, it's an old saying, the other guy's got problems too. How can you do one or two things better than 90% of everybody else? You're not making the perfect the enemy of the good, but you're taking some time to think, and you're saying, okay, this one item here, this one method of selling, how can I do better than 90% of everybody else? All of a sudden, it doesn't matter where you are. And that goes for the in-shop experience, too. We have a lot of people that visit us from Sacramento. We have people that are visiting us as they're driving from Portland. We're trying to, we have made this sort of idea that we're an oasis between a 500 square mile area, 8 hours one way, 4 hours the other, you know. So any small store can do that.
So if rather than being isolated,
yeah, I don't see
you're an oasis.
That's the way I look at it. We're the city on the hill. We're our own thing. And we bring in a lot of people.
So if President Reagan was still alive, he would be here, yeah.
You weren't going to leave that alone.
Well, perspective is something I think that a lot of times we get lost in. You know, instead of, what was the old song, accentuate the positive?
The narration, the narration to yourself.
Yeah, the self-script, the self-talk.
How
yeah.
is that narration doing? Most people, it's usually negative with business owners, I think. Because
we're always gap managing.
Right. How are you, what are you doing to make that more positive? Step number one is listening to it and actually thinking about it. What are you telling yourself? Are you running an old script? Let's say you've been in business for 50 years. Are you running the script that you had 50 years ago? If you are, you've got some problems. A lot of things have changed now. It's okay to update the script. You can always, if it's so great, you can always go back and use the original.
Right, yeah, if you're putting it through the uprights from 65 yards, you probably don't want to be changing your practice routine.
Exactly.
But if it's a little bit different, yeah, to integrate.
And it's okay to share it. If you've got people close in your family who can actually offer you constructive feedback or close friends, actually sit down with them. It's silly, but have a conversation with how you sound to yourself. Because every one of us has our own script that we follow.
Well, and I would think that's one of the opportunities for smaller businesses in our region to really either cement what they're doing or to learn is networking. Now, you were saying networking within a familial unit,
right?
Okay, within your staff unit, okay, within your industry or subgroups within that industry that are similar.
Sure.
Nobody's going to be identical, obviously.
Depends on the culture. If you're in a super competitive field, your competitors aren't going to help you. But there's got to be somebody in your circle that's going to
be willing
to help
you. Well, let's
say
you're really competitive.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're not competing against Pennsylvania.
Well, that's the thing.
Or Alabama. Or these folks that are outside the area. So if it's a geographic thing, well, you get outside your region.
But that could also be your own narrative holding you back. Maybe you should be competing with Pennsylvania. You see, that was a big problem I always had with the store before we had the online presence. I still am very frustrated that there's no reason for somebody in Massachusetts to get to their computer this morning, look me up, and buy something from me because I'm still selling mostly used goods. How do I get the person on the East Coast to buy from me? I struggle with that every single day. How do I do that?
Cost effectively.
Well, yeah, you could spend a fortune reaching that person. Then you have lots of reasons, but that's not a good idea.
Well, so in defining what your market is, could be maybe part of that initial fundamental planning stuff.
Yeah, defining what your market is, asking for the referrals, good old school stuff. But
is your market national, or is it local?
Yeah,
is it regional? Is what is it? And is it static or is it moving around like you were referencing with your DJ market?
And a lot of times a small store, a small operation will only have products that their local customers need. What are they doing to make what we call profit centers? What are they doing to offer things that are unique to them at a high margin? There's a lot of things like if you're making widgets that only people in Humboldt County will buy, but you're good at getting media attention, maybe you should take some time and offer mugs and shot glasses on a national level, and then get some national attention, and all of a sudden, you're selling this side thing that makes you a lot of margin. Like for example, we're just something off the top of my head. We're in the land of Bigfoot. You know, over 400 Bigfoot sightings, right? Why are there businesses that are marketing themselves with a little bit of a Bigfoot flair and selling a smart item nationally? That could be an open market for somebody. So it's going to take a little bit of thought and messing with it a little bit. But small businesses have to have profit centers, and they have to have some kind of appeal outside their market because our market is quirky right now with what's going on.
Well, so, you know, if you ever move from guitar picks to toe picks,
Then you got that food reference, yeah. Or the foot reference, rather. KINS, news and information time is 8:44.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:47. We're back to talk shop this morning with the land of Bigfoot, huh?
We're rolling with it.
There you go.
I get Anthony these shoes from a shipyard in Colorado.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Many people call them container ships. Some of the real basics. You got opportunities all over the place. But part of being in business that's fun is being a mentor for others. You know, that's one of the fun things I have here is helping people in the marketing arena, the mentoring. How would you go about suggesting for somebody who wants to get into your niche or somebody else's, but small retail, how do they go about connecting with somebody? I know the Office of Ed does theirs. I know that there are other outreaches, but just in broad general terms, if somebody was interested in getting into retail, what would you suggest to them?
Well, again, step number one is knowing exactly what you want. So if you want craft retail, where you're a vertical company making products on site with your own materials and selling them internationally, if that's your focus, you would probably want to dive into that. If instead your focus is being able to overcome objections, then maybe you should look into a high foot traffic retail, such as my shop, or even selling cars or maybe selling computers, I don't know. But something with a lot of high foot traffic would probably be what you should be drawn to. There's all kinds of different types of people, and you can usually spot somebody who likes making things with their hands compared to somebody who likes overcoming objections. They're different types of people. If you figure out which type you are, or maybe you're really good at one and you want experience in the other, but I think that first thing is there's a retailer for everybody. I think that would be step one. And there are lots of different paths to get there. Over the years, I've hired, I think, 3 interns from the high school system that were part of that Humboldt County program you referenced. That program's still in place. It's still a good go-to. I don't use it anymore just because I've got too many people right now and not enough room for it. But it's a very good program. You can get college credits for it. You can get high school credits for it. It can boost your scholarship. It can be part of like a sweat pledge. There's some scholarships that require that. I think that'd be the way I'd look at that.
The only thing I would add is follow your passion.
You know,
wherever your heart is, because there are going to be challenges and you have to be committed.
I don't want to be a wet blanket, but when you're first starting out, a lot of times you don't know what your passion is. And if you know what your passion is, that's a huge gift. You should follow it. But if you don't, then your next best thing is get your skills up and get your cash built up too.
Or get rid of the things you know you don't want.
Well, that's the other
thing.
See
what's left.
Discard all the bad stuff, all the bad influences. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm hearing clicks all over the place.
Yeah.
Must be time for us to go. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
See everybody tomorrow.